Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Man, John Lopez, you got a lot of people up in arms about this fake outrage.
No, I don't. This is you.
You got a lot of people upset with you.
I think most people are agreeing with me. This is you being you and trying to tweak me. But I will say this. You got at least one call or just one call, Figgy?
Just one call.
And there's like three or four texts that we got, that are like, it's silly. These are the people I'm talking about. These are the people. Have you not seen an NFL sideline? Because what you saw last night at halftime was not that far off some of the costumes they wear on NFL sidelines, some of the dances they do, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. One guy texted, and I hope this is just being a troll. It was satanic and preying on our children. Get out of here. You probably have dropped your kids off at a concert not knowing, right, Figgy? Not knowing that they're doing the same stuff at those concerts. I mean, get out of here.
The tongue thing from Shakira, too. How would that offend
you? That was actually kind of goofy.
Yeah, it was real goofy.
I mean, Michael Jackson used to grab his dong. Mm-hmm. Like, he would grab, like, his signature was grabbing his dong.
Yeah.
Didn't hear a damn thing about it. Someone sticks the tongue out, and just because people have more of a, they have more of a platform to whine and complain, now you're whining and complaining about
that. No, I disagree. I think it's just because it was women. I think when was Adam Levine's halftime show?
Last year, I think.
Was it last year or the year before? He did a lot worse than Shakira and J-Lo. A lot. I mean, he was full nipple, man. I mean, he was sweating, all tatted up, grabbing himself, and nobody's saying anything. But because I think it's sexist. I think it's fake propriety. I think it's sexist. I think it's, you know, this whole look how proper I am. I mean, it's just these people that actually say that, I don't think they believe
it. I also think it's a lot of, I think it's just people feel like they have a platform now. So you want to complain. You want some attention. You want a little bit of attention, and stupid stuff like that gives you a little bit of attention. That's just my take. I mean, it didn't offend me. I'm not a parent, so if it offended you, I don't know how you get your kid ready for the real world. I'm not saying that it's right or wrong. I'm not saying that, whatever you think for your kid can be right. But that's the way the world is. Like, they're gonna see stuff like that. Like, they're going to see girls shaking their booties.
They do.
All
that's
the time.
My point. You
you're
see
gonna
it
see it. So
every
you might as
day
well prepare them for it, or else you're just basically you're setting them up for failure. If what you saw yesterday,
you're naive.
You're naive.
You're naive.
You're not preparing your kid for
I
what the
like
real
world is. I
feel
like they kept it a little clean. Honestly, it could have been way dirtier than that. Kept it clean.
If you feel like, and one texter said that, and again, it's the minority, but it's just fascinating to me that people immediately go there and try to act holier than thou, et cetera. I had to explain a poll, a stripper poll, to my 12-year-old daughter.
What's hard about that?
Your 12-year-old daughter,
she didn't even do nothing on the pole.
Has seen it.
She just climbed a pole. That was
she
it.
She just climbed a pole. That's all she did.
You had to explain that?
Yeah.
Like, okay. Like, explain it. Like, all right, explain what the pole is. And quite frankly, it's not even really a stripper. Like, girls do that for exercise.
It's
now
exercise, a competition.
There's actually exercise to that now. So it's not just a stripper pole.
Believe it or not, the International Olympic Committee has considered making it a sport.
Yeah, I mean, people.
And then what about her lips and tongue? Have you seen any 19-year-old's duck lip selfie? Have you seen any of those? Have you seen, maybe it's your daughter who does those selfies with that stuff. Come on, get over yourself, man.
Just feel bad for people who are that naive and that sheltered. But I respect it. I respect it.
All due respect.
Just in my opinion, I think it's a little bit ridiculous. 713-572-4610, the OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig. We're talking a lot about Pat Mahomes. And Pat Mahomes, right now, I think Pat Mahomes is destined to win multiple Super Bowls. He's going to be the guy that gets all of the attention. He's going to be the guy that we talk about when we talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. However, I don't think the Kansas City Chiefs are in this position if they didn't completely revamp their defense. Because offensively, the Kansas City Chiefs, most of the same guys that they had last year, as a matter of fact, the overwhelming majority of the same guys they had last year were on this year's team. That's going to be the same case for the Houston Texans. The Houston Texans on offense, all the guys you saw last year are pretty much going to be back.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of Carlos Hyde, that's to be determined, but those guys are going to be back. Now, defensively, though, you look at the Kansas City Chiefs. Defensively, they completely overhauled that defense. They got rid of Dee Ford, who actually had 13 sacks last season. They got rid of Dee Ford, and they got rid of Justin Houston.
Yeah.
And they brought in Frank Clark, Emmanuel Ogba, Alex Okafor, and they added the Honey Badger. They completely revamped that defense, and it paid off significantly. They even got rid of, as I said, Dee Ford, a guy who had 12 sacks, and Justin Houston, a guy who got after the passer. Can the Houston Texans revamp their defense in that manner? And furthermore, are they going to have that same mindset that a revamp is needed? Because the Chiefs brought in a new defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
That worked, but I think a lot of the personnel moves that they made also are a reason why they won. And you've already seen the Texans make Whitney Mercilus one of the 10 highest paid at his position.
Right.
So it almost looks like the Texans are taking that run it back type approach, and I'm not sure how much they can really revamp this defense.
And what you just said there at the end is what I think is the key. If you're going to compare what the Kansas City Chiefs did to what the Texans could do, that last part, when you talk about revamping it, they're going to have to revamp that. You know, who has the biggest say in revamping it? The defensive coordinator, right? I mean, obviously Bill O'Brien makes the final decision. And he might have some ideas on who he likes to bring in or change or whatever it is on the defensive side of the ball. But Steve Spagnuolo had a big influence, the defensive coordinator for the Chiefs, on some of these moves. Like you said, I mean, they got rid of some guys that were productive. I mean, you know, or didn't bring back guys that were productive. But he brought in his guys. You know, they had Chris Jones, and obviously he had a great season. And Clark, who had a big game yesterday, but that's gonna be one of those things that your new defense coordinator is gonna have to figure out and have a big influence on. Spagnuolo has been in the league probably for 20 years as on the defensive side of the ball and as a coordinator on the defensive side of the ball, so he had a real good feel for things. Anthony Weaver, as much as he's learned,
he's a new guy,
first year.
And I mean, I also look at it as, you know, you could easily justify bringing back Dee Ford, who had 13 sacks, and Justin Houston, but they decided they were going to upgrade. They were going to bring in some alpha males on defense, some mean dudes. Frank Clark, he hadn't stopped talking trash since the minute that he put on a Chiefs uniform for the first time. And we know the Honey Badger. Honey Badger is one of the ultimate alphas, who, by the way, I got to give props to the Honey Badger.
Yeah.
I mean, he found the perfect situation. He took more money to go to a better team. And quite frankly, he was not very good on the Houston Texans last year. The Kansas City Chiefs maximized what the Honey Badger does, mm-hmm. and now he's got a Super Bowl ring, and I got to give credit where credit is due. But if you look at their defense in 2018, they were 31st overall in yards per game, and they were 24th in points. Texans mm-hmm. last year, 19th in both categories. And when you give Whitney Mercilus the contract that you gave him, and he's basically going to be on the edge with J.J. Watt, you're basically saying that you're basically going to run it back the way it was. You're mm-hmm. not taking the Chiefs' approach of maybe getting a little bit nastier and getting rid of guys. You're basically running it back, and that kind of scares me. But I think there is a move that GM Bill O'Brien could make that could help the pass rush, bring a little bit of nastiness, and it would be a buy-low move that I think Bill O'Brien needs to make to improve this defense. Could I interest you in that move?
Who might that be?
A man who we are familiar with around these parts, Aldon Smith, the former defensive end for the 49ers and Raiders. Very troubled.
Yes.
He's been through a lot, had major substance abuse problems, been through the ringer, but at one point, Aldon Smith was believed to be one of the bright stars in the NFL. And when we talk about revival stories, it seems like often the Super Bowl has those types of revival stories. And I think Aldon Smith, a guy who's trying to get back into the league, a guy who might get another chance, I think he's a guy that Bill O'Brien needs to consider bringing in. Here is Jay Glazer of Fox. They caught up with him at a Super Bowl party in Miami. This is what Jay Glazer had to say about Aldon Smith and his potential future in the NFL.
Alden's great because Alden's been working with our vets and our MVP program every single Wednesday night. Alden has now been, you know, sober for a while, and he's been helping a lot of our vets with their sobriety. It's amazing.
That's amazing.
That's the biggest thing you got to do. You got to be of service to other people, and we've given a lot of guys second chances. He deserves as much as anybody I've been around. A lot of them I worry about. There's been a couple of guys I haven't. He's one of them. He's like, hey, it's not my life anymore. It's not who I am.
He's brand new.
Yeah, he's completely, you know, it's not who I am. It's not my life. And that's what I'm most proud of about him. I'm proud of Alden Smith. So he deserves his second chance.
He has what it takes physically, too.
Oh, my God. We got him. Look, he's about 285 pounds right now. He's just shredded. Yeah. He is a freak of nature. Yeah. Him wanting to get back in the league, he's like, I want to help out other guys who went through this also. I'm trying to, you know, trying to help guide those guys. I'm proud of him.
First team All-Pro in 2012, 14 sacks, then 19.5 sacks, 8.5, 2, and 3.5. And obviously, he fell off late in his career. But this is a guy, it's not going to be very expensive. He's got the elite talent. He's probably more motivated than he's ever been. If you have a strong locker room, you need the pass rush help. God knows you need the pass rush help here with the Houston Texans. I think Alden Smith is a guy that Bill O'Brien should consider bringing in.
I haven't really disagreed with you all day. Here we are cruising along, talking about all these things. No way. No way, no how. I'm all for a second or third or even a fourth chance, but not a ninth or a tenth chance. And Jay Glazer is biased. I mean, he works with the guy on a daily basis. I mean, he's trying to look out for him. And I'm sure Alden Smith is in a lot of ways, you know, a good dude that has maybe started to turn the corner. But Landry, he's been arrested, what, 10, 12 times, or at least in trouble 10, 12?
Might be a little heavy,
but
I
not,
would say.
But not that heavy. I mean, he was stopped for driving under the influence, suspicion of driving under the influence last June. I mean, not even a year ago. The Texans, first of all, would not be inclined to bring him back. He's 31 years old. And he's had as much as maybe he's looking for that seventh, eighth, ninth chance. Past year he was arrested.
John, they brought in Matt Khalil. They brought in Matt Khalil.
Okay, but Matt Khalil
didn't
have that track
record.
Yeah,
well, Matt Khalil couldn't play, and there was no upside for Matt Khalil.
I think that's almost a different topic because they saw something in Matt Khalil.
Look, man, it's not going to cost a lot of money.
No.
That's the point.
Hey, if they bring him in, I'm not gonna protest. I mean, you know, they brought in the Honey Badger. He didn't have as much, and he'd overcome already more than Alden Smith.
I mean, Alden was a bad dude.
Yeah.
He was.
Yeah.
But desperate times call for desperate measures.
I know. I'm with you in theory. I just don't think with this exact
dude. Frank Clark had a pretty rough pass for the Kansas City Chiefs.
No, he did.
If you look that up. Tyreek Hill as well. Yeah. Sometimes you got to roll the dice on guys and hope that you can get the most of them. I think it would be.
I just don't think the Texans would.
Well, they
not that they
won't.
Haven't changed their ways a little bit, but I just feel like it's not like he's that far removed from still being in trouble.
It's been a while. You know, he's been out of the league for two seasons. So I think Alden Smith is someone that they should consider bringing in just to at least kick the tires and try to improve this defense, because it's not going to be as easy as we think. They got a lot of bills coming up. So it looks like they have a lot of cap space, but when you got to sign Laremy Tunsil, you got to eventually sign Deshaun, that cap space might not be as hefty as you believed. And oh, by the way, you paid Whitney Merciless. So it's an uphill battle for the Texans to fix that defense. But if they're going to be where the Kansas City Chiefs currently are, it's something that they must do. The monkey is off Pat Mahomes' back. Was yesterday just one of many more? And is the rest of the league doomed? That's next. Oh, my. An owner around town is tipping his hand. We thought it was a thing of the past. Might just be the way things are gonna be. Are the Houston Rockets a restaurant? 1140, 713-572-4610. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. A lot of times in the NFL, you see a team win a Super Bowl and you say, you know what? This team's going to be here for a long, long time, and then I'll be damned if the next season they miss the playoffs and you never hear from them again. I don't feel that way when I watched the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday. In fact, when I watch Patrick Mahomes, it just seems like this is going to be a hurdle for everyone in the AFC. And it feels like the hurdle that the Texans have faced to take that next step has shifted from New England to Kansas City. And I think this is a serious problem now that Patrick Mahomes has the monkey off of his back. I think this is going to be something that's going to be in the Texans' way. And I think it might be even a more dangerous hurdle than the New England Patriots one of the past, because when you're this good this early, and he's the youngest one to do what he's done, and when you have that clutch gene, yes, they're going to have to get rid of some players. Yes, they're going to have to change things, but you know what? So is every other team in the league. I think we're looking at a team that is, for lack of a better term, this could be a dynasty. They're going to win a few Super Bowls. This is going to be a problem.
There are always going to be, and accurately, I'm not criticizing, there's always going to be a few people who say, well, you know, let's let this play out because he could be Aaron Rodgers or he could be Dan Marino and be a one and done, even though Dan Marino didn't win. He got to the Super Bowl his second year. Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. But if based on the evidence that we have right now and what you're seeing in the league, the environment that he's in, the system that he's in, the level at which he's played, and not just physically with the arm talent, but with the cool and the clutch gene, if you will, and the ability to make plays that are broken down with his legs and passes that are incredible. Patrick Mahomes, I said this earlier, and I was actually expecting a lot of people to think I was crazy. But most of the texters and you actually, you know, went with the higher number here. I said, if you had to bet $10,000 today on Patrick Mahomes winning one Super Bowl or four or more Super Bowls, the betting favorite would be four or more. And most people agreed with that. You did. I mean,
he's 24, John.
The youngest player ever to win Super Bowl MVP, league MVP, and a Super Bowl.
He's 24.
He's 24.
He was in overtime last year in this situation.
Yeah.
He's got the intangibles. He doesn't seem like someone who's going to, what is it, eat the cheese,
yeah,
as Bill O'Brien says. I mean, this is a problem for the Texans. This is a massive, massive problem for the Houston Texans. This is the situation that you're dealing with right now,
yeah,
where Patrick Mahomes, who's the same age as Deshaun Watson, is the best player in the NFL right now. I mean, and we said that heading into the game, mm-hmm, and it's even more true now. And he has that monkey
and
off
the
of his back.
The pressure's off.
He's tasted it. The pressure's off. And I think it's only going to drive him more to get back to that situation. And I just want to make something clear. This is a Deshaun Watson fan club on this show.
Yeah.
We are Deshaun Watson fans. We love riding and dying with Deshaun Watson. We like what Deshaun Watson brings. But let me just make this clear. Deshaun Watson doesn't belong in the same category as Pat Mahomes right now.
Mm-hmm.
He has to earn the right to be in the same category as Patrick Mahomes. And I know that they're linked together because of the draft. I know that we do it a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But as soon as a guy wins Super Bowl MVP, wins a Super Bowl, has won an MVP, and has been to the conference championship two times, and he's being put in the right situation, it's a disservice to Deshaun Watson to even put him in that class right now.
It's either a disservice to him or an insult to Patrick Mahomes, because you just really should not underplay what he has accomplished in 24. Think about what you were doing when you were 24. I mean, come on. And to do that and to be so mature with it and to be, you know, now that he's got it all under his belt, he's won everything that a player aspires to win, and now there's no pressure. I mean, he's going to be in this game again multiple times probably. Especially given, given the situation that he's, you know, with his coach and the play calling and the no pressure, it puts a lot of pressure on Deshaun Watson. It really does.
And as I'm sitting there watching that, I'm watching Pat Mahomes. I just wonder, and you know, I think it's a question that we've asked many times. But let's say that the Chiefs, who interviewed Deshaun Watson leading up to the draft, let's say they choose Deshaun Watson over Patrick Mahomes,
mm-hmm,
which a large portion of people would have at that time.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people were looking at Mahomes as kind of
Texas
a system
Tech
quarterback. Yes, a lot of people were.
Was like barely more than a 500 quarterback at Tech.
If that does happen, and Pat Mahomes is right now the quarterback of your Houston Texans, where do you think Patrick Mahomes is? Like, do you look at Pat Mahomes? Because a lot of times when you look at someone and you see them doing their thing, you say, damn, if only they would have drafted him, we would be in this situation. It happens all the time in sports. Hindsight's 20/20 yeah, in sports. What do you think we would be saying about Pat Mahomes right here on February 3rd, 2020, if the Houston Texans ended up with Pat Mahomes instead of Deshaun Watson? What are we saying about him?
I mean, maybe the identical things, huh, that we say about Deshaun Watson? Well, they got their guy. I mean, he's a stud. You can get there with Patrick Mahomes.
But
is he in the right situation?
There's a but
to get there. Is he in the right situation to get there? We're not gonna. You know, there's months left. 222 days. How many days left before the first NFL game?
You're counting too early for me, homie. 200. You're gonna make me sad.
Yeah. There is time to talk about Deshaun Watson's fit with Bill O'Brien, but it's kind of hard to avoid the day after you see Patrick Mahomes do what he did.
How about you just have a top 10 off? Let's just crawl before we walk when it comes to Deshaun Watson. Like talking about Super Bowls, MVPs, all that type of stuff. How about you just have the guy who's calling the offense call a top 10 offense for the first time? That would be right. Nice. You know, right. Maybe a top 10 offense, maybe, you know, maximize what the resources got. I think that would be an ideal situation. And I think you just have to channel the expectations because, you know, it's a lot of times it's about your upbringing. And I think Pat Mahomes has the perfect upbringing. The prime example to me, John, as I'm watching this game, the prime example to me where I said, damn, that's what makes a difference for a football player is as I'm watching the Kansas City Chiefs, they look dead.
He
was playing awful. There was 8 minutes remaining in the game, and Pat Mahomes had thrown two interceptions, including one that cost him points and kept it a two-possession game to the San Francisco 49ers. And he was playing bad. When the Kansas City Chiefs get the rock, it's probably the last chance they're going to have to win this game. 8 minutes remaining. And you know what they come out in? Up-tempo.
Yeah.
No huddle, up-tempo. Boom, boom, boom. Third and 15. Pat Mahomes finds Tyreek Hill. Take a shot down the field to Travis Kelce. Get to the one-yard line. Touchdown, Travis Kelce. And then you stop the San Francisco 49ers. You get the ball back. Still running up-tempo. Little more of a concerted up-tempo, but you do it. You hit Sammy Watkins down the sidelines. You're inside the 10. Huddle up. The fact that Andy Reid decided to run that up-tempo in that situation, it's something we don't see with the Houston Texans. We hear Bill O'Brien talk about how we're better suited to run up tempo, but it's very selective when they do it. They came out there, they did it, there was urgency, and we've seen the Texans in that exact same situation. And it could be a Watson thing. I have no idea, but we've seen him run up tempo in Clemson, so it's not like he's not capable. But in that same situation with the Texans trailing two possessions or whatever it is, they have not been able to run up tempo. And on the biggest stage possible, the Super Bowl, the quarterback, probably the most talented quarterback in the league, his coach had him run that up tempo.
Yeah.
And it was a relationship between coach and quarterback on display on the biggest stage possible. And they got the biggest prize possible yesterday.
And it's going to get easier for them. The monkeys, the gorillas, whatever it is, are off their collective backs with Kansas City, especially with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. I think Patrick Mahomes is Tiger Woods and Andy Reid is Phil Mickelson. Tiger Woods had so much success at a very young age, so much so that once he got that win and all that money, and Patrick Mahomes is going to get all that money, he never really felt pressure in majors. I mean, sure, there's always a little bit, but he didn't have that pressure on him. He was rich. He had he had everything he wanted, and he had his major championship. That's Patrick Mahomes now. Now let's look at Andy Reid as Phil Mickelson, waited and waited and criticism, and is he ever going to do it? And is he a choker? And does he fall short? Is he really
going
to be
going golf on me?
Yeah. So Andy Reid is Phil Mickelson. But then what happened once Phil Mickelson won one
golf? He won a few.
Then he won another. And then he went into and won another. And Phil Mickelson became legendary once he got that long-awaited major. Once Andy Reid got that long-awaited Super Bowl and Patrick Mahomes got that really early Super Bowl. This is Tiger and Phil, man. I mean, they're on the same team now.
No.
It could get easier for them.
No, I could easily see Pat Mahomes' girlfriend hitting his car with a golf club. I could easily see that.
Now, she was out of control, even by her standards yesterday.
Yeah, after the game. Hey, what's up, Tiger?
What's up, Tiger?
Now, does Andy Reid have a gambling problem? That's the real question. Yeah. PJ and Spring, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead real quick.
Hey, what's up, guys? PJ and Spring. Yeah, John, you were saying that the pressure is going to be on Deshaun Watson, but I think it's on Bill O'Brien, man.
Sure.
You can't, man. Look, that's just like saying, I mean, let's say if you gave Patrick Mahomes Jeff Fisher. I mean, look at the Rams when they got rid of Jeff Fisher, man.
No, I actually agree with you. I think there's going to be pressure on Deshaun Watson, and he wants it, the desire. You know, he really wants to get where Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes have gotten to. But the most pressure, especially going into your seventh year, is absolutely Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, I mean, they're connected. You know, you can't really separate the two. 713-572-4610 to get in the Houston Rockets, your favorite local restaurants. We'll explain what that means next. Chiefs top the – who the hell did they beat?
That would be your San Francisco 49ers.
I'm just kidding. San Francisco 49ers, already forgotten. 31-20 in the Super Bowl. Here is the play that we'll be talking about two decades from today. Patrick Mahomes finds Tyreek Hill as the Chiefs were down by 10 to the 49ers. Ended up winning the game, but this is the play we'll be talking about for decades to come.
Chiefs need some Mahomes magic. Launches down the middle. Hill open, caught, and they get it. Kansas City, the big play by Buckner. Joey. And Mahomes gets it downfield finally.
Even if you make them have to kind of chop it a little bit, then I think the San Francisco 49ers could hold on. But, man, you have a chunk play like that followed by the pass interference, Kelce in the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
They score quickly, and you knew the game was going to, at the very least, get extremely interesting for the Kansas City Chiefs. But that's the play right there that nobody else in this league can make. The 49ers were actually pressuring the heck out of Mahomes. They actually pressured him on that play, and he's able to just make that throw without really even having to step into it. Few guys, if any, can make that play in the NFL, and that's why Patrick Mahomes is the youngest ever player to win an MVP, a Super Bowl MVP, and a Super Bowl at just the age of 24 years old.
That was the play of the game. I agree with you. I thought that was the play of the game just because it was kind of like the Chiefs looking like the Chiefs again. Mahomes going to his right. Freaking incredible arm strength to get it down there, making a play that what maybe three or four quarterbacks at the most can make in that situation, and it sparked them. They're kind of like a basketball team, and Texans fans know this real well. They can do that proverbial 20 to 2 run, right? At any, it might happen in the first quarter, might happen in the fourth quarter. In the postseason, it's happened in the second halves of games where Texans was, what, 51-7, and Titans was, I forget what that run was, but they just go like on basketball, you know, spurts or runs, and you could just feel that it was going to happen right there.
And it happened. Mm-hmm. Kansas City Chiefs win the Super Bowl. You knew one thing was certain if the Chiefs won. Travis Kelce was going to act a fool. Here is Travis Kelce after the game. He's at the podium. I guess his teammates are walking by. We know that he's been known to change personalities or change – mindsets when he's talking. He's at the podium. He's answering a serious question, and he goes serious to clownish and then back to serious without even being fazed.
Forever thankful for the opportunities, man. Coming from Cleveland Heights, Ohio, to getting a scholarship at the University of Cincinnati, to getting drafted here in Kansas City. I've been unbelievably fortunate. Hey, how we doing over there, baby? I'm about to party. Like I said, I've just been unbelievably thankful for the opportunities I've had in this world.
This guy.
Oh, my God.
This guy's hilarious.
Oh, my God.
He's absolutely funny. And he was on the set of ESPN NFL Primetime with Chris Berman and Randy Moss, and he had to get his trademark in there. What is Travis Kelce doing right now?
Or who?
He's got a girlfriend, man. He's had a girl for a while.
Okay. You ever hear that story about Travis Kelce? It's out there, but I don't think we've talked about it much. How he went on a radio station or somewhere. You might remember it, Landry, more specifically, where he's like, he actually said, okay, girls, whenever you meet me, just take a breath. It'll be
no,
all
no,
right.
No, that was his show. He had a reality show.
Oh, that was a reality
show.
Yeah,
it was a reality show.
What kind of arrogant, I'm just a guy. You don't hyperventilate. Get out of here.
It's
with
just
that.
His reality show, man.
That's right. It was the reality show. But, no, I mean, give it up for him, man. I mean, the guy gets it done. Obviously, he's had an incredible year and got the ring to prove it now.
That was the Travis Kelce side of the Chiefs celebration. The Andy Reid side, much, much more different. Andy Reid was making it about everybody but himself. He's a selfless guy. That's why everybody was so happy for Andy Reid. On that same set, when Travis Kelce did that, he was trying to talk about Randy Moss and how cool it was to see him as a father. And Randy Moss had to make it clear, this is about you, coach.
Yeah.
This is about you, coach. And Andy Reid, just the humility was there. You could see it. You were happy to see Andy Reid win. This was Andy Reid, who's a hefty fella.
Yes. How come they didn't carry him off the field? They could have carried him off the field.
What do you want them to do, break their back?
Well, get the right guys in. The season's over, man.
Has a coach that heavy ever been carried off the field?
Maybe. I don't know.
No. Carrying off the field is an expired thing, right?
No. You're still going to see
when?
It. When? You're still going to see it. When was the most recent time someone
I don't know. I just don't want to be carried off the field if I'm a coach. No, thank you. But this was Andy Reid talking about how he's going to celebrate his first Super Bowl championship.
I'm going to go get the biggest cheeseburger you've ever seen. Prime, the biggest one. And might be a double.
You might be? You
get
think?
A steak, man.
He wants a cheeseburger.
No, get a steak, though.
Why? He's eating steak.
He can get the
he
best steak.
He wants a cheeseburger. It's his craving, man. Sure. Big old double cheeseburger for Andy Reid. That'd be a great picture. Hawaiian shirt. You know, juice just dripping off his hands, slamming down a burger.
How come, this might be a dumb question, how come fat dudes always wear Hawaiian shirts?
Because they're you can leave them untucked. I'm serious. Like the Mexican Guayabera shirt, you know, the Mexican shirt with the, you've seen them, the Guayabera, that also is untucked, so it's easy to be fat in one of those shirts.
I want to play a game for you right now.
Okay.
Tomorrow on the show, John McClain is going to join us. About 23 hours from now, John McClain will be here. I want you to tell me, subtweet or not a subtweet?
Subtweet or not a subtweet?
Was this a subtweet by NFL Hall of Famer John McClain in the Sports Radio 610 Insider?
Okay.
This was John McClain after Andy Reid won the Super Bowl. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Subtweet or not a subtweet? 713-572-4610 if you want to play around. Quote, Andy Reid is such a great guy. Treats everyone with respect, players, coaches, coworkers, and media.
I can tell you right now that's a subtweet.
And he's a hell of a coach. He's on his way to Canton.
Read it all again. Read it again.
Andy Reid is such a great guy. Treats everyone with respect, players, coaches, coworkers, and media. Andy's a hell of a coach. He's on his way to Canton.
One hundo subtweet at your boy. And you know who we're talking about. No, it was. It was about your boy.
He talks about the temper. He's talked about B.O.B.'s temper and stuff. So John McClain, following the Super Bowl, according to the OG John Lopez.
100.
Subtweeted.
Yep.
King Bill O'Brien. J.J. Watt, he hosted SNL the day before the Super Bowl. J.J. Watt's trademark line from his hosting.
And I got to be quite honest with you. Sometimes you got to man up and clap them cheeks. You know what I mean?
Sierra knows Shakira? How to make it. Shakira. Why'd I say Sierra?
I don't know.
They're nothing alike.
Shakira gained the most from that halftime performance.
Really?
Yeah.
She could play an instrument. Is it sound weird that I'm most impressed that she was playing the guitar?
Really?
I mean, I've seen her shake for a long time. I've seen Shakira shake. It means nothing.
I think
she was playing instruments.
J-Lo, it was hard for her to get any bigger, J-Lo, or more popular.
We all seen J-Lo.
Right?
J-Lo been around for a long time.
Shakira, I bet, just skyrocketed. And she can move, man.
A lot of people forgot about Shakira. She's been around in the 2000s.
Who didn't know that?
A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
J-Lo is always around.
Yeah.
People knew Shakira could move.
Well, you were familiar with her.
You knew she could move.
You were familiar with her, but you weren't like J-Lo familiar with her.
Shakira's not in the spotlight all the time like J-Lo.
Right.
No, she's not, but, I mean, she's globally, globally she is.
She brought
it. Look up that net worth.
Big time.
I know that net worth ain't no joke. J-Lo brought it too.
Yeah.
I will give her that. A lot of people were offended by the Super Bowl halftime show. Man, you know, the other thing that got to go back to this game, a lot of people were very critical of Kyle Shanahan's decision to not be aggressive at the end of the first half.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually okay with it because, first of all, they got the ball first. It paid off because they got a 10-point lead up to that 7-minute mark.
Yeah.
And with the long halftime show, they basically kept Kansas City's offense off the field for like an hour. Literally an
hour.
They
did, but I still think he should have been a little more aggressive there. I mean,
but it paid off.
What had happened was that pass interference call or really hurt
the Kittle one. Did you agree with that call? I thought it was a weak call.
Here's my point on officiating. Let's talk officiating real quick. Just because a call doesn't go your way does not make it a bad call. I thought there were...
It could have gone either way, I'll say that. Exactly. I would have kept the flag in the pocket, though.
You know what I liked about this game is there were three or four calls that absolutely could have easily gone the other way. That one, and then the touchdown call, did he step out of bounds first or not?
That was going to be whatever was initially called
that,
on the field.
That was a coin flip. But either side could have argued that they got hosed on that, right? So what I liked about it, there's still judgment. You know, there's still judgment in officiating, and judgment played a role. If you know, people who say, well, you'd still need the human element in the game. There was. That pass interference call could have gone either way. I don't think it was pass interference. I don't think he gained an advantage, you know, or anything like that. I think he was just trying to make sure he had space to catch the ball. I also don't know for a fact either way if that was a touchdown. But you know what? They were judgment calls. If you want human element, you got it. You should not complain. I know it hurts 49ers fans, but you should not complain.
Do you think that Andy Reid would have gone for it on 4th and inches?
Yep. He did it twice.
He did it twice early on, but that's we're talking about the difference between either taking a tie in the Super Bowl or going for the win on the one-inch line.
I'm convinced. And in fact,
by the way, how did he have a play on 4th and 1 twice?
Yeah, how about that?
How did he do that?
I guess you can do that.
You are allowed to do that.
You are allowed to do that.
Okay, just making sure.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, that first 4th and 1 down on the end zone where they did the little loop-de-loop with the backfield all at once simultaneously, that's a play from 1948 that he saw on film.
USC versus Michigan.
In the Rose Bowl. And he said in postgame when people asked him about it, he had actually like 2 or 3 other options that he didn't reveal.
Oh, so he had multiple plays.
So maybe he would have run that, one of the other options off of it.
So he did have plays on
multiple plays on 4th and 1.
Very, very impressive. Rockets yesterday before the Super Bowl, they got a win over the New Orleans Pelicans. Zion Williamson making his Toyota Center debut. However, the Rockets got the dub. But I got to tell you, as a podium critic, I was actually pretty impressed with Zion Williamson after the game. This is courtesy of Mark Berman of Fox 26. Here's Zion Williamson talking about P.J. Tucker, because a lot of the time in this game, the Rockets were playing small because Clint Capela was on the bench. So Zion was going on the block, and he was having to bang with Tuck. This is what Zion had to say about P.J. Tucker after the game.
He's a very strong player. He knows how to use his body very well. You know, I did learn a few things from him that I'm probably going to try to add in my game with using my body. I just got a lot of respect for him.
That's very good of him to say. The Rockets are in a situation right now where it looks like there's some changes coming.
There are some changes coming. This according to Woj, which is probably the most credible source you can have in any sport, especially the NBA. The Houston Rockets, they're actively discussing several trade scenarios involving center Clint Capela, including a host of Eastern Conference franchises who are interested in Capela. Now, a lot of Rockets fans might be saying, well, that's fine. You know, you can at least add some talent to the roster if you do get rid of Clint Capela. And quite honestly, Clint Capela has been a little bit of a disappointment lately. Well, not so fast, my friends, because according to CNBC, Rockets owner Tillman Fertitta is seeking to shed additional salary off the team's nearly $140 million payroll, hoping to avoid the luxury tax.
Yeah, well, this is where it's going to get real interesting for the Rockets. According to that report, the Rockets are already out on Clint Capela. Like
That's the Woj report.
They're out. He's going to get moved. It's just a matter of trying to move him to the right spot and get the right thing back. This luxury tax thing is pretty dang interesting,
because it's been a sensitive topic for Tillman Fertitta, but guys around NBA circles, whether it's Tim McMahon, whether it's Brian Windhorst, they're on record on the ESPN outlet saying that Fertitta has a reputation as being cheap. And last year you saw the Rockets make trades that got them below the luxury tax. Fertitta tried to say it was a fluke, but then there was audio of him courtesy of Adam Spillane saying that was actually a goal in the next couple years, at least 1 out of 3 or whatever it was. So there's been questions about Tillman Fertitta. Very smart businessman, but a lot of times in pro sports, sometimes you have to lose money. Especially when your team has that, quote, championship window and a generational talent like James Harden. And the talks that for the second straight year, the Rockets could be looking to avoid the luxury tax, it's quite frankly discouraging for Rockets fans. You should be discouraged. And quite honestly, John, just to pull back the curtain a little bit, I mean, you and I have talked about this for a long time. We were told that they were actually going to be aggressive and be above the luxury tax this year.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this is an adjustment to what they've seen, but it's different than what you and I were personally sold last year.
It is. Let me tell you what I think is going on here. I think Tillman Fertitta is now, he's past the honeymoon phase of ownership. And I think he's starting to really put his own stamp on what he wants this organization to be. Now, I'm not sitting here and saying Tillman doesn't want to win. He wants to win. Of course he wants to win. Who doesn't? But, I mean, the guy has made a billionaire. He's become a billionaire over maximizing the entertainment experience and making sure that his general managers aren't overpaid, you know, compared to other general managers in the food and service industry. I could see where he's just saying, you know what, let's try to win under the luxury tax every year. And, oh, by the way, let's put a Ferris wheel outside of the Toyota Center, because that'll be cool. No, I'm serious. I think he could. He's
John,
gonna,
a Ferris wheel?
Not literally a Ferris, but I'm thinking he's turning.
The heck is wrong with you?
I was kidding. I was exaggerating. But I think he understands this has to be the whole entertainment. It's how he cut his teeth. It's what he knows. One other thing that I think is a factor here, and don't underestimate this. It's the first thing I
don't oversell, bro.
I'm not overselling.
Don't oversell, bro.
I think you and Figgy are both going to agree with me.
Don't put pressure on us.
Daryl Morey has to count his lucky stars that he's still employed after the China stuff over the offseason. Do you think Daryl's gonna jump on the table and argue with Tillman after when Tillman says, I think we need to try to win?
Daryl didn't jump on the table last year. Daryl got below the luxury tax.
But it's even more so now. He's like, yes, sir. I'm just happy to be here. I'm serious. That's human nature. Daryl Morey, by a lot of owners, would have been fired or pushed out after costing the league so much money and bad PR.
I'll just tell you this, John. Mm-hmm. I don't disagree with anything you're saying.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying this because we care about the people. We care about the city of Houston. There's a lot of Rockets fans out there that are very, kind of frustrated that they haven't been able to get over that hump. If in this current situation with the Rockets, with Westbrook, with Harden, with the potential they have, if heading into the trade deadline, Rockets fans, and the trade deadline is Thursday at 2:00, I believe.
Yeah.
If Rockets fans have to see Clint Capela traded for what's a clear salary dump down the final stretch of the season,
it's a salary dump.
That is almost unforgivable for many, many fans.
But I think because of the leverage he has over his general manager, Daryl Morey. I know he's an independent
Daryl's
guy.
Daryl's played ball with Tillman from the beginning, though.
But he
Daryl's
is,
played ball from the beginning.
He's kissing the ground at Toyota Center, figuratively speaking, for not getting fired or pushed out. He's not going to fight Tillman too hard on this.
And the other thing about this Morey thing, and this is just some NBA stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether this is true or not, but a lot of owners are more pissed off at Morey than you would believe. So it's not like, like a year ago where if Morey left, he would almost certainly have a gig. I would think he would. But there's a lot of owners who are upset with that China stuff as well. But the bottom line is this. Houston Rockets, your favorite local restaurant here in H-Town. Are they being run like a restaurant? We'll know in the next few days. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you, Sports Radio 610. Let's put them goggles on. Let's put them goggles on, the localized goggles. Let's look at the Super Bowl through localized goggles. Plus, your calls as well. Loopholes, we need you to contribute. 713-572-4610. Reaction Monday continues next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.